I'm Jodie Walmsley, author, keynote speaker, and happiness expert. I'm talking to you today from the Simply Laughter Online Summit. My next guest is Poonam Verma. Now, Poonam's worked for the BBC, and she's also had her own TV program in Dubai for about 8 years. Now, she's going to be talking to us all about giving a great interview and how to use lots of different methods of media, and then also her journey with Soul Travel. A wonderful professional session. Enjoy. Hi, Poonam. I'm so glad to have you with me today.
Thank you.
Wow, what a way to start off my summit with all these tips you're going to give us on presenting. And I've got so many questions myself because you were the first person to interview me on Laughter Yoga. Do you know that?
I didn't know that at all, no.
When I arrived in Dubai, you interviewed me on Out and About. Dubai One Channel, and
I can't forget that class. It was like hilarious, literally.
And so I, you know, since then, luckily, I've done a few more, and I hope I've improved. But
you have honestly.
But I just want to share with the people watching today about how we can actually give a great interview and some things to watch out for when we are interviewed. So, have you got any tips? How about a top few tips that we can interview better?
Well, what I want to know, first of all, is when you've been interviewed, what are some of the things that you have found that you went wrong at, or you didn't know if you did right or didn't come across right? Give me some examples.
Yeah, now that's a great question. Now, I was doing a show with Chris Fade with Virgin, right?
Yeah.
And oh my gosh, I only had a short time. It was for World Laughter Day. And he kept butting in, and he was, I'd never got the message across that I wanted to in a short period of time. Now, this I find a challenge.
Well, first of all, that's Chris's fault, because if he's invited you and he wants you to get your message across, like a lot of presenters, we love to talk. So sometimes we need to, and I have that trouble too. But also you have to realize when you're on radio, it is about having no space on the radio. So they want to keep it as chirpy as chirpy. And Chris is very, you know, in your face, you know. But on that occasion, he really needs to take a pause and let the person speak. So this is for Chris Fade. This isn't for you, Josie. But what it is you have to learn to take control of the interview if that's the case. And that will come with time, and that will come with confidence. So I can understand when someone who is a well-known presenter, like me or Chris or whatever, is overtaking you and da-da-da. You should also realize you're here to explain to people what they can get out of your program, what they can get out of your workshop. My job as a journalist, as an interviewer, is to give you that space. So he needs to calm down a bit, but I understand where he's coming from.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I did realize, you know, because I was new, it was actually my first radio interview. I was not as prepared because I do know my topic. So I thought it would flow, but actually I found out later on that I if you've got something you need to say, you need to structure it to make sure you can put it in.
Well, the best way to do it is every media outlet is different. So as you learn, as you go along, when I first started presenting, I didn't realize how many times I blinked all the time. I didn't realize how many times I would talk over people. And my producer would be like, give the person time to speak. I'm like, oh, I didn't know I was, you know. So we don't, until we watch ourselves, we don't know what we're doing. I mean, the first month of radio, I nearly got chucked off because I was so bad. The first month of TV, I was criticized. You know, we learn and we go along. We're not born perfect presenters or interviewers. So with you need to learn different avenues and different ways of getting your message across. So if you have a short amount of time, you need to prepare very distinctly, instinctly, in one line, going, Laughing Yoga is da 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 da. If someone gives you a morning show and says, we've got half an hour with Jodie, learn to spread it out, write the points. If it's social media and you've got to do a 1 minute video on Instagram, concise it for 1 minute. So it's your job to prepare 10 seconds to half an hour conversation.
Yeah, great. That's great. Because I actually then did an hour interview on, Dubai Eye, there you go. And Wow, she had put in so many different questions because she hadn't actually spoken to me beforehand.
And I like that. I find that quite natural.
Yes and no. Okay, I'll tell you where I go, what went wrong here, you know, while we're talking about, I'm sharing my tips to try and help everybody out there. She brought up something about pregnancy because she had had something with people that were laughing for pregnancy. Now, laughter yoga actually has some, you know, warning signs when people are pregnant. It's not such a good idea to do a full-on laughter, you know, exercise or something. Yeah, exactly. And it's funny because on stage I was doing for 800 people, I had I was doing a keynote and I'd noticed that there were three people that were pregnant during the break. So I mentioned to them, you know, please be careful. Please do not overexert yourself because if you have the baby, and I made a joke of it, I said, you're going to have to call it Jody because you had it during my session or something like that. I made fun of it. But on this particular point, it was on the radio. She brought that up and she was trying to say, yay, it's so good. And I was just like,
But then you shouldn't panic. You just need to, if you don't know all the information, there's something called the lying technique or the covering up technique. And that is basically just saying, you know, I don't know everything about the situation when it comes to being pregnant, but you know, like most workshops, most anything to do with exercise or, you know, extreme movement, when you're pregnant, you do need to be careful. So really you should only go as far as you feel comfortable. And just keep it as that, you know, because your class isn't specifically for pregnant women. It's for people in general, you know, so it's kind of like saying somebody who's got, you know, a really sore throat, don't laugh too much during the laughter. You know, everyone has to take precautions and monitor their own ability to see how far they can go. So you just cover it up like that. We're not here. You know, no expert knows everything about every question that's going to be thrown at them. And there are times when I've thrown a question at somebody and the person didn't know. And I kind of felt bad thinking, I didn't want to make them feel like they didn't know what they were talking about. But then I would edit that question out because you want to make sure that that person comes across well, informative, they feel comfortable in the interview. And I can walk away saying that interview was really good rather than me showing them up and saying they don't really know much.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, luckily for me, I did have the answer, but that was just a good example of how you can be thrown off. Yeah.
But you will be thrown off. That's life. I think, you know, you don't know what's going to come at you. And even for me, you know, I've interviewed certain celebrities and they've gone so, no matter how prepared I have, they've gone so bad. I'm like, I've been doing this for 10 years and I really messed this up. It's okay. It's okay.
Yeah, that's a big, that's self-acceptance and, you know, just being free and flowing with it, which is great because another one on that that hour special that I did, oh my gosh, is she gave a whole lot of laughs. Now, I didn't know anything about this, all right? She put in a whole lot of laughs and she said, what kind of laugh is this? And asked me to analyze it. And I was like, okay, I have no idea. And actually out there, any of you laughter yogis, I'm sure you wouldn't be able to answer those questions. They were asking me to analyze laugh. So now how do you come back from something like that?
If somebody asked me to analyze a laugh, I would kind of just joke around and say, well, that sounds like she's about to go on a really hot date, so she's laughing nervously. This one sounds like she's about to have an exam. You know what I mean? And just kind of say, I just kind of joke around and like brush it off. That's like brush stuff off that you don't know. And because you're doing a laughter class, you can brush it off with like lighthearted
laughter.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. And that's a good point. You know, we are laughter yogis and part of what we teach and what we share is all about how to laugh at life. So if you do have a few mistakes, this is a great time to use that.
And there's nothing wrong with saying, you know what, I really don't know much about that, but I'll have to find out. There's nothing wrong with saying that, you know, because you have to remember when someone asks you a question, you might think, oh, I've never thought of that. I'd better go and do some research. So that person has taught you to think, maybe go and check this out. And you might think, I want to analyze what laughter means or what body language means. So it's fine. You can just say, you know what? I'm going to look into that. Thanks for giving me the idea.
Yeah, now that's a good tip. That I have used that one. So I'm glad that you did mention that. And I mean, wow, sometimes I get really nervous. And that, there again, it's a laughter thing. So do you have any cool tips on how we can just...
Well, I once got really nervous. I did a live show for the film festival in Dubai. And literally, as I was talking, I felt like someone had my neck and they were squeezing and squeezing and my voice was getting smaller. And then the camera went off me and I went, I can't breathe. Because I was so nervous, you know? And your body will react when it's nervous. Some will go through laughter. Some will, because this is the communication part. My throat decided to seize up because it couldn't communicate because it was so scared of speaking on live TV. Some people might suddenly start feeling faint. So your body's reacting to your nervousness, okay?
Sure.
Just go with it. And I'm a massive believer, if you can listen back to your interviews, you will learn a lot. Like you think, oh, I giggled too much through that. I hesitated through too much. You have to monitor yourself and also look back and listen and observe how you are in an interview. That's how you get better. But you still have to stay true to your personality. So, you know, if somebody says, oh, you know, you don't speak like this and this kind of presenter, say, no, that's because I'm me. You know, I don't want to be, a crazy, judgmental Simon Cowell, you know, or a Sharon Osbourne. I just want to be me, you know. So you have to be whoever you're going to be, but you can refine it and mold it so it looks good for the media.
Yeah, no, I fully agree because I'm very, I talk like this, I'm very big, I have so much energy, but that's part of why I get hired as well. I mean, so I don't want to lose it.
That's your job. You don't want to come across saying, I'm a laughing coach and I'm here to help people heal through laughter. I'd be like, really, you're really depressing me right now, Josie. You know, that's who you are, so you have to be like that. And even for me as a presenter, I've had to adapt the way I've spoken to certain people. Some people are very quiet, so I've had to try and bring them out of their shells. Some people are too loud, and I'm kind of like, calm down a bit. So as in all honesty, it is the person who's doing the interview's job to maintain a good interview and control it. The person who's being interviewed needs to be relaxed and needs to feel like this was a good interview and you were treated fairly and with respect. So you shouldn't have too much pressure. It's the bad presenters who are making you feel not good.
Well, that's interesting. And what about the usual ums and so's and
I do that. When I don't have any more questions on that, I should have done some research. You know what? I think the more you do, the more you will be confident. You can't suddenly say, how do I do that? You learn as you go along. I've learned as an interviewer how it works. I've messed up interviews. I've had amazing interviews. I've known how to rescue myself out of interviews. I've realized how I don't know how to rescue myself out of certain interviews. It's all right. At the end of the day, you're there just to get your message across. I'm there just to get a really good interview from you. And it's a mutual benefit thing. And it's not the end of the world if it doesn't turn out to be an amazing interview, as long as we've both got our job done. So don't take it too seriously.
Yeah. No, that's it. You know, it flows. And especially with laughter, you know, we want to bring that energy across. We want to show that we're fun. And taking it too seriously is actually against what we teach. So great point.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if we were talking about heart surgery, it's a whole different ballgame. You know,
so you
have to remember, according to what you're talking about, you treat it in a lighthearted way. And there's no right or wrong answers. You can only speak your truth. And that's the most important thing. So just speak what is real and true for you. And if the person who's asking you doesn't understand what you're saying or understands where you're coming, their job is to say, tell me a little bit more, inform me a little bit more. Okay. See, you have to remember that you're in a position of power because you're here to say, come on, journalist, interview, do your best. Come on, interview me, get the best you can. Don't treat it as though, oh my God, I'm really nervous and this person's famous and they're interviewing me. No. It's my job to get a great interview. You're there to do the best you can, but the power is in your hands. Remember that.
Yeah, no, that's good. Are there any ways we can actually learn how to be better, you know, either on camera or interviewing, or are there any courses or anything?
Well, for me personally, I do one-to-one training, whether it's to do with confidence, speaking, presentation, TV presenting. So if anybody's interested in that, then cool. You can contact me. I'm also planning to do certain retreats where I do actually journalistic and presenting retreats for people. And because I'm also...
We'll put a link down. So anybody interested in those, I'll put a link.
Yeah, no, definitely. And also because I've just recently become a metaphysics practitioner as well. So there's a lot of... talking about releasing these fears and insecurities you have about being in front of cameras or speaking, and they're all limited beliefs that we all have, you know. So combining the two together, like media and metaphysics, it's just empowering people within. And I'm a massive believer, just be yourself. It's always good to watch yourself. Like, for example, you know, we're talking on screen and I can monitor how I'm coming across with you. Yeah. And I might look back and think, oh, I didn't give Jodie enough time to speak, you know, and like Chris Fade. Yeah. So, you know, that's sometimes what I can do. But I continuously monitor myself and watch myself and listen to myself and think, give people time to speak. That's
something I learned watching my speaking, being on stage, because that's where I do most of my work is on stage. I realized that sometimes a message that's so clear to me, maybe doesn't come across that way to the audience. So when you watch yourself and you monitor yourself, it's a great way to actually perfect your message that is getting across to someone that's never heard about your topic before. So I think monitoring is a great thing to do.
Well, I'm a massive believer. When I was studying journalism, I never used to watch the main adult news. I watched children's news, because I find in life people use complicated words to get messages across so you don't have a clue what's going on. When you break it down and think, I want to explain what my course is to an average 12, 13-year-old, then it makes life very simple and people go, oh, I've got it. We complicate everything in life and we think we have to sound really cool to use long, you know, sassy words. No, make it simple.
Keep it simple, silly. Yeah. I agree. No, I fully agree. Now, you've interviewed amazing people like Kim Kardashian, Sting, Tom Cruise, Gordon Ramsay, and Lewis Hamilton. I mean, that's amazing. Those are just a few. Yeah. Come on, you've got to have some stories to tell us about some things that went wrong or funny.
Well, let me think. When I interviewed Kim, she'd just got married to her first, well, I think her second, Chris Humphries.
Oh, yeah?
This is how good she is in the media. You know, we were talking about her marriage and she was like, she's very sweet. And she said, oh, it's so nice to be married to your best friend. A week later, they went for divorce. So I'm kind of thinking, wow, you know, you're really good in front of the media because you're going on about how much you love him. And now a week later, obviously, you know, you're playing the role.
Yeah.
And obviously she was sorting stuff out in her own head too, but very media sassy. Then I met her mom and interviewed her mom, and I can kind of feel people's energies. And the moment I sat with her mom, the first thing that went through my head is she is a businesswoman, and she truly, you know, a lot of people might say, oh, she's, you know, overly business. But if a man did it, no one would question it, you know, no one questions Richard Branson's business ethics, but you know, she's a businesswoman. She's done extremely well. How she's done it, whether you agree with it or not, fine. And they're a family and they've stuck together. And, you know, it was interesting meeting them. Lewis Hamilton, probably at the time, I don't know what he's like now, he was one of my favorites. Just because when we met, we started talking about, he's somebody I could sit in a pub with in England and have a normal chat. I don't know if he's still like that. But his energy was just such a nice, normal guy, and all the people around him, the PR people around him, they were just so like, no, and he was so calm around them. It was like he wasn't caught in that kind of pretentious kind of thing at the time. So I really liked his energy. Sting was a very random thing. He was doing no interviews, and we were at the Maidan race course, and I turned around and literally Sting was standing behind me facing a crowd of 300 people, and I had a microphone and I went, oh, maybe I can get an interview with him. He's standing up here. And he turned around. He looked down at me and went, can I have an interview, please? And he said, okay. Nobody else got the interview. I had no questions prepared. I'm not even a Sting fan. And I didn't know what I was going to say. Luckily, I came out with four questions. And that's the thing. You have to be prepared for anything, whoever you come across. But with Sting, there was something very intriguing about him. Because he's a very spiritual person, and being a metaphysician, I've always been very spiritual. When I was talking to him, something radiated over me, and it's never happened with anybody I've interviewed. There was just a calmness. Like, his energy was so calming, so pure, and so truthful, that when he left, I felt like I'd just been to a massage. I was so, like, calm. He has a very special energy, and I don't really follow his music or anything. Yeah. So I enjoyed meeting him for that reason. And Gordon Ramsay.
Mm.
We had a bit of a tiff on air, but it turned out to be such a humorous tiff because we're both British, so we had the same sense of humor, that we actually did like each other at the end. But he is, he makes you work for it as an interviewer. He gets bored quickly, and I get bored quickly. So he called me a pampered princess during the interview. That was it. I was like, you're in trouble now. He was winding me up. I was winding him up. But at the end of it, he actually said, I really enjoyed this interview. So for me, like all the different people I meet, like you'll be interviewed, it's our job to be, to kind of like adapt to who we're interviewing. It's not your job to adapt to us.
Yeah.
Remember that. You still have to be yourself, okay? We're the professionals that have to adapt to who you are as a person. So that's how I've learned, you know?
No, that's great. No, we've got so many different ways of spreading the word and getting it out. And I think that video is really big right now, and with Facebook Live and all that jazz. Do you have any tips on how we can just do better with that?
Well, I think you don't have to be overly technical. I'm not overly technical, but I do, you know, like, for example, we have iMovies on some of the Mac computers. It's a very simple edit technique to use. And it's very good sometimes to use, you know, your phones as well with all the little apps and stuff. You can edit things. Mm-hmm. Video footage, even if it's 10 seconds to a minute on Instagram to sell your stuff, to promote stuff, it makes a difference, you know, and it kind of gets your information out, your face out there. Don't be afraid of showing who you are. And if you are, put your voice, just your voice, and use a picture background or something. Yeah. But you should make the most of social media. It's a great way of connecting with people, because I found that if I'm not around creative people, the only way I can be around them is through social media. And you know, YouTube, I found so many contacts. Instagram, I found so many contacts. You know, make the most of what we have right now, because it just joins us collectively. Like, we wouldn't have this conversation if it wasn't for like technology.
Oh, exactly.
Use it to your benefit. Mm-hmm. And it's a great way of spreading your message across. And if you don't know how to use, let's say, things like Instagram, just go on YouTube and put an Instagram beginner's tutorial. Everything is there for you.
Yeah, no, Instagram is something new. I started playing with it actually last week. I was with a DJ friend of mine, and she's doing really well. Just sold a million copies of one of her records. And we decided, we're both workaholics, and we decided, you know what, let's do something fun. So we decided to cook. I don't cook. She doesn't cook. It was the most hysterical thing ever. And I was filming it. And it's on that story, your story thing. And it's just a few seconds. But wow, the comments that were coming back, her manager came back and said, what, you're doing a cooking show now? And then everyone like got in on that. And apparently you can download it. So it's a great way to put
something. No, it is. Yeah. I mean, I don't come from the age of Instagram and, you know, online when I was growing up. And I do personally feel people share way too much stuff. Like, I don't care what you're having for dinner, and I don't really care that you went to the gym. It's just sometimes become a little bit narcissistic, like me.
Yes.
I'm not massively into that kind of thing, but unfortunately, people are indulging in a different way. But for me personally, I use it to promote work, to have good connections, to send out positive vibes, to share good things. Like, I share a lot of people's posts if I really enjoy their photography or their artwork or their messages or their quotes. But I don't necessarily, but people have used it to create a brand, and that's fine. That's, you don't need agents and managers anymore. So you should make the most of who you are and create yourself into who you want to be.
Yeah, no, that's great, because that was kind of where I was going with that, is like, how much should you share? How much shouldn't you? Should you keep it business?
It's, you know what? It's really, really up to you, what you feel comfortable, but don't share because you think everybody else is sharing.
Yeah.
I'm a great believer in making your page as unique as you are. You know, you get really good ideas and really good tips from watching other people's Instagram pages, and we all need each other, you know, to help each other and collaborate. But you have to find what is you. Some people might make you push you out your comfort zone, which is great. And you might try something and think, oh my God, that's not really me. But you'll know if it's not really you. So whatever feels comfortable to you, but take a few risks, you know, but don't copy other people. Just make your own page, you know.
Yeah, I think that's really important because so many people are trying to be other people. I think being unique, being, you know, niching down, which is a message that I really want to send to our Laughter Yogis, because there are a lot of us out there, but we each niche in a different way. I'm corporate and I deal with business because it's a totally different thing to having a laughter club. So I've spent years mastering that, traveling around the world, working with business people, picking up tips on how I can run laughter as a business and to benefit the right people. So I think that, you know, being yourself and finding out who you are, what your message is, and keeping that constant is a very good branding tip. Yeah.
And I think you do need to find out who you are and who you're catering for, you know, otherwise you're just going to be putting everything in anything. And if you do look at some of the Instagram pages, a lot of them look like clones. It's literally same pictures, you know, there's not much difference. I can't distinguish one from the other. Yeah. So I'm thinking there's very few that really stand out for me and I follow that I think, wow, you know, they're kind of different actually.
Yeah. Well, you know, we've got a lot of things going on. We've got a project that we're going to start working on is your Soul Traveler retreats, isn't it?
Yeah. So basically, Soul Traveler was a magazine that I started about a year ago. And I have to thank the BBC for that because I used to work for the BBC. And when I was back in England, I said, look, I have an idea for an online thing. And the guy said to me, nah, it's not for the BBC. And I got really like, well, where do I go? And then I thought, you know what? I'll just do it myself. And here's how non-technical I am. I went onto the online and I created my own webpage by scratch on Squarespace. I don't know how I did it. It was so easy. And I thought, if I can do this, anyone can do this, right? Mm-hmm. Created it for 1 year. I did what I used to do in Dubai, which is I used to do retreats and feature retreats and well-being and spa. Because soul travel for me is, it's about, I believe we're all soul travelers. So my massive thing is we're all souls, all spiritual beings in a physical body just for a short amount of time. And we will carry on traveling continuously once we end these physical bodies. So you do the best you can, right? Well, with what you have right now in this lifetime. Mm. And Soul Traveler is about going deeper. So I recently went to Thailand for our first episode, which will be shown on Sky TV, FreeSat. It's going to be online. It's actually been taken on as a TV show. Thank the Lord. And I was given full creativity. So I went to Thailand and I featured things that are really like on a soul level. Like we talked about the elephant sanctuaries, how the elephants are treated in Thailand, the turtle rehab. We talked about the food, the culture, the people. We featured some beautiful resorts, you know, and Tai Chi massages and, you know, Muay Thai classes. And I wanted to touch people on a deeper level, a more sophisticated, kind of mature way of traveling as well and seeing beautiful things, you know, not just the light party side of things like that. Yeah. So it started off as a magazine. It's now turned into a TV show. And now I'm taking on starting retreats. And Jody, you are one of my lovely clients. Okay. I have a few clients and I'm just starting that off now. And I have Jody. I have a great guy called Herman Soy. And he teaches a lot to do with mind, body, and soul, and Tai Chi and Qigong. Mm-hmm. It's really great towards guys as well, because a lot of guys, I feel, sometimes feel intimidated about going to retreats because they think it's all women and everything. Mm-hmm. So I want to cater stuff for men as well, because I think they really need to be heard as well in this day and age. Sure. You know, it's hard for them to be vulnerable sometimes and just speak their truth.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's a lot going on, and we're continuously like adapting it and promoting it and getting involved in different, anything to do with the mind, body and soul, informing and entertaining is what Soul Traveler is about.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I think it's where we're heading. You know, people are looking for different answers, different ways, alternative ways of just feeling better and living healthier, happier lives. So
yeah, I think the whole thing, I think a lot of thing also is that a lot of people are very good at living the surface life, and then something's going to happen in the life, which happens to all of us, right? Mm-hmm. You can't avoid challenges, ups and downs. And that's when you're pushed to go inwards and you're like, hang on a minute. Why am I here? What is actually life about? What is my purpose? Once these questions start getting into you, that's when your real, I think your soul starts evolving. And that's when you find your real purpose in life. You know, it's not always about our job or how much money we have and where we're going. We're all on a path and none of us know what's going to happen tomorrow. But one of the greatest things I think we're all here to do in life is to find our truth. And I think you can only do that when you go within yourself, whether it's meditation, whether it's yoga, whether it's painting, finding something that gives you joy. So soul travel is all about feeding the soul, whatever ways you can do that. And I think that's where life is turning now. I think we fed our bank balances, we fed our pockets, we've done enough like makeup and hair and all that stuff. We got to feed the soul now. That's what needs nurturing more than anything. And look at the state of the world. I mean, you can tell how it's a mess in a big capacity in many, many ways.
Sure. And so it's a great message that, and, you know, it's also part of what we are doing as laughter yogis and, you know, all the people that are using laughter. It's a way of getting inside and
being happy. I mean, how could you feel after you've laughed and laughed and laughed? I mean, how, you know what I mean? It's an internal thing.
Absolutely.
That's the surface thing. We've got to stop now. We've got to come from within and spread it out, which is what you're doing.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. And now you are going to give us 5 tips on how to present better. So that's wonderful. So everybody, we'll put a link down there so you can make contact with Poonam directly and get those wonderful tips. And then if there's anything else that she's got to offer, hey, Poonam to go.
And if you know, anybody can contact me if they need any information on presenting or anything really. I mean, you check Soul Traveler and just let me know. And there's so much potential for collaborations too, just like with me and Jodie. So we'll be happy to collaborate and help people out.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for taking the time. I know you're really busy. So yay. And I'm so excited. You've given us wonderful tips and have a great time. Yay.
Thank you, Jodie.
Ciao.